might not sin against God. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty for all who believe. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. We thank you for your love. I just pray now that we might get something out of this message today in chapel, and we'll give the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today we're going to be talking about a person by the name of David. David's not a little known character in the Bible. He's someone who's well known in the Bible. But I believe there's some things that we need to take and look at David. And I think you're going to find out some very cool things. But David, as we know, was anointed king of Israel at a very young age. He was caring for his dad's sheep, and he was handpicked by God to be the second king of Israel after Saul had sinned. And David, he had killed a lion and a bear, and while he was watching his father's sheep. Now, David was one who killed the Philistine. What was the Philistine's name? Goliath. How would you like to hear the story of Goliath in a song? Would you like to hear that? Okay, it goes like this. It goes, only a boy named David, only a boy named David, only a boy named David, only a rippling book. Only a boy named David, only a boy named David, only a boy named David, and five little stones he took. One little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round and round and round and round and round, round and round and round, and one little prayer went up to God, and the giant fell down to the ground. Smash! Do you know what? I learned that song when I was probably Ava's age, or maybe a little younger than that even. That was one of the first songs, and I sang that song all the time. And I happened to think about that while I was doing this devotional today. But, you know, David killed the Goliath. Goliath was a big guy. How big was Goliath? Molly? 9 feet tall. Yeah, they had that this last week in junior church, and Susan did such a good job in junior church this last week. But no king had ever sat on the throne of Israel who was as great as what David was. Now, there's many that believe that David was probably the greatest king ever to live, and that God had kept him safe all through his life. Now, David wrote most of the book of Psalms, and Isaac Williams said the psalmist, the Psalms are David's prayer book, and this is all written while David was a king, or just about king, and it was upon David's throne where the Lord will reign for 1,000 years when he comes back to the millennial reign. Now, David is the only man in the Bible who was ever called a man after God's own heart. You know, David wasn't a perfect man. David sinned just like you and I do. David did a lot of things wrong, but he was still a man after God's own heart because he had a tender heart and he always asked God for forgiveness. But I want to look today, if you got your Bibles, turn your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 16. In this lesson, I want most to learn that we should be like David was in our everyday life. Let's look at the story and see what exactly happened with the beautiful character that David really was. 2 Samuel chapter 16. This is one of the darkest part of David's life. In 2 Samuel chapter 16, we recall that after David's sin, God told him that the sword would never be out of his hand for his disobedience, that there would be one from within his house that would try to take his throne. Absalom, that was David's son killed David's oldest son, Ammon. We talked about Ammon here not too awful long ago. And so here we see that Absalom had run away from his brother, from his dad, into another country. And when he returned, he tried to turn the people's hearts away from David and onto himself. And so what we need to realize is that David was a true man of God, and that but Absalom rebelled against his dad, and he had gathered an army to fight against David's forces in an attempt to overthrow the kingdom. Now, this had become a very sad day in David's life, because he was going to have to flee. He was going to have to run away from Jerusalem, and that was his beloved city. He was going to have to run away from Jerusalem and hide. And so he left, and when he left, this was not all David's burden. His faithful friend and lifetime counselor had also forsaken him, and he had went and followed after Absalom and his army and everything. And Methuselah, that was Jonathan's son, also turned on David, and he wouldn't follow David. And David had taken him out of poverty and put him in the king's palace and fed him at the king's table. And yet he turned on David, just like a lot of other people did. Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 16, starting in verse number 5, we're going to take a look at some things that happened to David while he was on the run. Now, in verse 5 it says, "And when King David came to Baran, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all of his servants of the king of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, 'Come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. And the Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned, and the Lord hath delivered the kingdom under the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man.' Then said Abishai, the son of Zerah, unto the king, 'Why should this dead dog curse my lord, the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take his head off.'" He wanted to take his head off. That sounds good to me. So he said, the king said, "What have I to do with thee, ye sons of Zerah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, Curse David. Who shall then say, Wherefore hast thou done so?" And David said unto Abishai, and said to all of his servants, "Behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him." I want to take a look at some things here. The first thing we see is when this guy came, he cursed David in his darkest hour. David was running for his life from his own son. His own son wanted to kill him. He threw stones at him. He called him a bloody man. He cursed David of being Satan, and accused him of being Satan. He voiced pleasure because Absalom was going to be on the throne. He accused David of mischief. He cast dust at David. Oh, there went the lights. So here we see that David accepted it as God's will. We notice the words here, for the Lord hath bidden him. You know, David accepted it as God's will for him to do this. Now, many times when bad things happen in our lives, we get all fired up because we feel that God does not know what's happening to us, or it's all because of God, bad things are happening to good people. And so then you see that in Romans 8:28 it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And David knew that. David knew that there's going to be some bad things that happened in his life, but it was all because God allowed it to happen. Then we see that David at another time acted in the same type of manner. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 19 to 24, 22, we aren't going to have time to read all of that, but it's one time when Saul was chasing David, and Saul wanted to kill David, and David was running for his life, and David went and was hiding in this cave, and lo and behold, here comes Saul into the same cave and all of his men. Now think about this. This is all. David had over 500 men with him, and they were all in this cave, and they were hiding in the walls of this cave. Now here comes Saul's army, and he had over 1,000 men, and they all came into the cave too. So there's 1,500 people in this one cave, and they didn't know each other were in there. I mean, that's unbelievable. That had to be a big cave. Now, David knew that Saul was there, and so in the night when everybody was sleeping, David got up and went over, and he cut off Saul's pouch off of his robe, and he took it. And the next morning when Saul left the cave and his men, David came out, and came out of the cave, and he hollered at Saul, and he says, hey, he says, who does this belong to? And Saul realized it was his. And Saul at that time realized that David could very easily have taken his life. David could have killed Saul in that cave, but he didn't. He had mercy on him, and he didn't take his life because Saul was the anointed king by God at that time period. Now, also in Matthew chapter 11 verses, or chapter 5 verses 11 and 12, we're going to turn there real quick, and we'll look at that. Matthew chapter 5 and verses 11 and 12. It says, blessed are thee when man shall rival you and persecute you and shall say say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And what we need to realize here is that we need to take and do like David did. You know, one of the, one time when, let's see, there we go. Notice the words there. It says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. This means to jump up and down and click your heels and together and shout. This is our response needs to be to persecution, criticism, and the attacks from the enemy. You know, it's very hard sometimes to be joyful when people are against you. You know, when people are coming against you and things like that, it's hard to be joyful. In Matthew 25:25, notice the words, agree with thine adversary quickly. In other words, we ought to fight, we should not fight back, but we should use diplomacy in order to take and hold back a bad situation. In Matthew 5:44, it says, ah, there is the greatest. There's an attitude that we need to have towards those who set themselves over to be our enemies. In conclusion, we need to realize that there's going to be bad things many times come into our lives, but it's how we handle those bad things that are going to count. You know, a lot of times when bad things happen, we need to just say, well, Lord, you brought these in my life because you want me to go through it. And sometimes that's what needs to be done. And I know a lot of times in my life, there have been bad things happen in my life, and I think, well, I guess it's because God wanted me to go through them. You know, one of the bad things that happened in my life was when we had the airplane crash. And when we had that, I thought, oh, man, there's nothing could be any worse than that. But yet God did it for a purpose, and that was for me to come down here and start the church here in Florence. So what we need to realize is that God always has things for us to do for his honor and his glory, and we need to take and realize that. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for all you've done for us. I pray now that you'll guide and direct us today. Help us get our pace work done and help us get everything accomplished we need to get done today. And we'll give the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, we got lots to do today. So everybody get in, get your pace work started, and we will see y'all later. Hi, Ava. Ava and Ava.